Welcome to the Spamcast. This is part two of The Return of Space. Mark Sandlin and Chris Giddens discuss the role of Lego Factory.
Lego came to us, actually, and said, we're going to have a palette for Lego Digital Designer. And then they also said 50 pieces that we could request. They would see if they could get us some of those specialty pieces.
And we, you know, we asked questions like, okay, is this going to replace some pieces? Is this going to be on top of? And they kind of were indicating it would probably be on top of, but things can change. The business, the whole Lego Factory thing is still fluid for Lego. They're trying to figure it out and how the business model works and how the logistics work. So, you know, we sat down and went through BrickLink and went through Pieron and all those things and picked up pieces, and they had a form for us to fill it out, and we put those pieces in and we sent them to them, and they said yes for these would be available, these would not be. And we put in some parts we really wanted, some that we were like we would be okay without.
Chris talks about the inclusion of minifigs in the sets.
If we're going to do space with minifigs, they have to look spacey. They just can't be a blank torso or can't wear a tie or a dress, because that's not fashionable in space. And the space torsos and stuff, or the torsos that we had to choose, were must have, and that actually was one of the tougher things to get figured out, is the minifigs, just because of what would be available for this palette. Because Lego has to go through distribution and figure out where these bricks come from, and are they going to be in the next few cycles of being molded. And for the most part, it was the last cycle of bricks plus the ones that we had added in. And so they allowed us to get a few of the pieces from them. Mark and I got together two or three times and started to build models.
Once submitted, those models went through more checks.
They had a designer on staff who commented on whether he felt certain connection types would be weak or prone to failing the heat test.
Maybe you should tell them what the heat test is.
The heat test is something Lego does for every model, and it's where they take the model and they put it in an oven that's it's not really hot. It's probably 110 or 120 degrees thereabouts. It's supposed to simulate if you left a Lego set sitting in a hot car on a hot day. And what that does is it shows them if a model's going to be weak if a kid leaves it in a place where it gets warm. If he picks it up, is it going to fall apart? At any rate, the designer gave us comments about certain connections or landing gears or things like that that he thought might fail under the heat test. And surprisingly enough, the large skull mech that I made with the tentacle legs passed the heat test and apparently does not require any sort of a support of bricks or anything. So I thought that was really interesting, because there's
Mark's sitting the guy at 20.
There's been comments online. People are like, those look really weak. I think it's going to fall over. And it passed the heat test. And, you know, the model that I've got on hand seems to stand up, you know, pretty well and seems to work. We did another round of checking connections like that, or discussion. And then eventually they had the bricks put into Lego Digital Designer for us.
Yeah, they had us log into a special area and download the brick palette for an updated version of LDD. And so we did that, and it's a pretty interesting process of taking the parts of your model kind of apart and then reconstructing them on the screen. And as anybody who knows, LDD can be really ornery when it comes to does this connection actually work? What is it trying to stick to? And
I asked them if there were any particular parts that they really, really wanted to have that didn't make it to the models in the final cut. And I could sense a little bit of the non-disclosure agreement setting in.
Mark has been through the design process working with the that one Mars mission set that he got to go to Billund and work with. And so he knows the process better than me. And I went all hog wild and built a lot of stuff for them to choose from. But I had one piece built that was kind of the center of the design. And when we got to this round and with the production and the way dates work and Lego Factory still kind of figuring out its own rules, some parts had to be pulled because they were running out of cycle. And that really killed good model I thought was in the model. I'm not upset with what's in the box, so understand that. And I just hated it that it was kind of a neat thing.
Lego does not produce every piece in every color all the time.
Right.
No way!
Every year, right. Every year there is a palette of pieces that they produce, and those pieces are produced in certain colors. Because of that, that's what affected a couple of Chris's models that used, you know, certain pieces, because they some of those pieces were due to end production at the end of 2008, and our sets are going to be in production for I think April 2008 to April 2009.
At least,
like a year.
Spoiler alert, Chris reviews some of the details present in the Star Justice sets.
There's the base that everybody's seen the back of. The front looks a lot cooler, just by the way. The back is open like that because of old classic space star bases and stuff on planets were open for play. The front looks cool. There's some little bit of rock terrain in front of that. I think we can go ahead and say this. There's a... In the Justice set, there's the base. There's a place for you to put little energy things in and act like you're play to recharge them and stuff. And that's the stuff the jerks on from the skulls are trying to steal. And there's a rover, and it has some features that are reflective of a classic space set that it had a rocket on it and it was mobile. Then there's a flyer spaceship that you've seen, a little scooter, and then there's another fighter ship that does have a closed cockpit.
That's
reminiscent
cool.
of the, yeah. the of a certain peacekeeping spaceship.
It's also the one that's silhouetted on the factory page.
Right.
That's the Justice spaceship.
And there's robots. The robots have a definite throwback to classic space robots, the antennas and arms and one eyes with one by one rounds on the front and another robot or two, and so it's a lot of fun. There's a lot more brick in the box than you have seen in previews so far.
Yeah, the space skulls have a there. You've obviously seen the large skull mecha and the skull bot. The other two sets, one is a fighter, you know, a flying spaceship. And the other is a sort of a small hovercraft sort of thing that you can put two or three figures on, like a little troop transport type of vehicle. So there's a lot more to be seen yet.
And here's another secret.
Are you ready, Tom? The box will have stickers.
Yes.
The stickers are for the controls, unless there are control. We've got one or two computers that are in the palette already, but specific computers to our sets, there are stickers for tiles and for other parts. There's stickers. The Justice guys have a targeting computer with a skull on it and vice versa. And there's logos on the stickers. And there are stickers for the minifigs.
Stickers, a mixed blessing.
Yes. I know a lot of fans right now are cringing, no, but that's the way it has to be with LEGO Digital Designer. Because the production runs on our set are not large enough to warrant them actually screen printing torsos.
To quote Jake McKee, the most expensive thing LEGO produces when it comes to something plastic and brick is a printed minifig. It would have A, added to the cost, or B, cut out some brick.
The Justice set has 895 pieces. The Space Skulls set has 956 pieces.
You win.
We all win. It's the return of space in LEGO Factory. Look for it coming April 2008. For the Spamcast, I'm Tom McDonald.